Hello, my beautiful people, and welcome to episode 4 of Talk With Me, Walk With Him. I realized that for the last couple of episodes, I have not been introducing myself when I introduced the topic. So, I am Kayla Ware, your host of Talk With Me, Walk With Him. And today's topic is going to be Let's Not Lie. Stay tuned. Welcome back, and thank you for staying tuned. Let's go ahead and get started while I have your attention. The devil is a liar. One of the most popular phrases that are used today. And when I was younger, I honestly used to find it funny. I guess considering, you know, the circumstances of when it was used. But now that I'm older, I realize that that phrase is so true. The devil is a liar. And my question to you today is, do we really want to be in the same category as Satan? So to start off, I came up with something new to get you all excited to learn new words. Term time. So guess what time it is? You guessed it. It's term time. And the first term of the day is lie. So one definition that I have for lie is an intentional false statement. In other words, deliberately not telling the truth. So essentially, we're willfully sinning when we do so. And when we're willfully sinning, we're rejecting Christ's sacrifice for us. In Hebrews 10:26-27, the Hebrew writer tells us, "For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries." Now, notice how verse 26 says, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of truth. As children of God, we should do what we know is right and abstain from doing what is wrong. Now, I have the perfect example, especially for the parents out there or the babysitters. So imagine that, you know, you and your family or your children or your nieces and nephews, whoever, you are all dressed up very nicely, very fresh, and you're getting ready to go to a very important event. So you step outside, you know, you're getting ready to get in the car, and you see a huge mud puddle. You tell the child, do not walk in that puddle. You will mess up your clothes and shoes. And you're sure to give them this information more than once. You tell them what not to do and why not to do it. Do not walk into that puddle. You will mess up your clothes and shoes. So maybe you're turning around to lock the door, or you're putting a car seat or something into the car, and then you hear a splash. You guessed it. They jumped into that puddle. They didn't even just walk in it. They jumped into the puddle. Now, what will probably bother you the most is that they knew they were not supposed to do that. Not only did they know they were not supposed to do that, they knew why they were not supposed to do that, and they still chose to do it. They purposely disobeyed you. How would that make you feel? I would be furious. I would be so upset if my son did that after telling you not to do it and telling you why not to do it and telling you more than once not to do it. I would be extremely upset. So we're sinning knowingly, then our behavior is showing that we don't care about his death and all of the suffering that he went through just to save us. Like, he basically died in vain. Same thing with that child. You would feel like, what was the purpose of me telling you all of that if you're still going to go and do what you want to do? But of course, it is much worse when we're willfully sinning against Christ and basically taking his sacrifice in vain. Terrible. Another definition of lie is used with reference to a situation involving deception or founded on a mistaken impression. Deception. Interesting. Turn time. Okay. Deception is causing someone to believe something that's not true, typically in order to gain some personal advantage. Now, there is so much that we can gather from this definition. But firstly, as Christians, we are to embrace truth and promote honesty. In Ephesians 4:25, Paul writes, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Paul is writing to the Ephesians about the new life they should be living as Christians, and this new life involves telling the truth. Even people of the world frown on liars. So, how much more are followers of Christ expected to tell the truth if even people of the world dislike liars? And to highlight the latter part of that verse, for we are members of one another. Lying to our brothers and sisters in Christ is equivalent to us lying to ourselves. As said in Romans 12:5, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. If you hurt your hand, is that not a part of you? If you injure your ankle, is that not a part of you? And it's also been scientifically proven that hurting one body part can easily affect another. Ponder on that for a little while I find my next topic. There we are. So secondly, as Christians, we are not supposed to do anything for our personal advantage, as mentioned in the latter part of the definition of deception. So Ananias and Sapphira tried this back in Acts 5:1-11. When selling their possessions, they kept back a part of the proceeds for themselves and lied to Peter about how much they sold it for. But notice in verse 3 how Peter asked Ananias why he lied before Ananias even fixed his mouth to tell a lie. This goes to show that we can lie through our actions. If we are doing something in hopes that someone will believe something that's not true, then we are lying. And the weight of that lie is no lighter than the weight of a lie that comes verbally out of your mouth. In this same verse, Peter tells him he lied to the Holy Ghost before he even said a word. So can you imagine being accused of lying to God? This is what we do each time we lie. Whether the receiver of the lie knows of our deception or not, God does. And in verse 9, Peter tells Sapphira that she and her husband tempted the Spirit of the Lord. But more interestingly, neither one of them ever even received a chance to explain themselves or plead their case. After committing their deceitful acts, they died immediately. This goes to show how much our Lord hates lying. As a matter of fact, it's written in his word. Proverbs 6:16-19 lists 7 things that are abominable to the Lord. And lying is among the first that were listed in verse 17. So if the Bible plainly tells us that the Lord hates lying, why do we do it? So speaking from experience, I can name a few reasons. So for one, we tend to fear the consequences of man more than the consequences of God. And I have a prime example. Remember back in Matthew 26:33, when Peter said, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Now, this was his first lie. I'm sure some of you never even thought about it that way, but this was his first lie. And a great example as to why we should never say never. He literally said, yet will I never be offended. But you were, Peter, you were. Let's get to that part. So in the following verse, Jesus told Peter that he would deny him three times before the cock crows. And of course, this came to pass in verses 69 through 75, because our Lord and Savior does not lie. He said that Peter was going to do it, and Peter did it. Let's see. Peter saw how they treated Jesus and heard how they wished to have him put to death. And it is human nature to be afraid under these circumstances. And that's why he lied. No justification, but that is why he lied. And he was so terrified that he lied three times. He denied even knowing Jesus at all. And don't forget, this is the same man that told Jesus that he would follow him until his death. So we may not be put in circumstances as severe as Peter's, but regardless, we should fear the Lord and not man. In Matthew 10:28, Jesus tells his disciples to not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. It's easier said than done, I know, but that doesn't make it impossible. Now, another reason we lie is to make ourselves look or feel better. When I was working on this podcast, I asked a few of my coworkers to name a time they lied to make themselves feel good or look better. And most of them used resumes and interviews as their example. And at first I was like, oh, y'all are so lame. I really want to make this juicy. Give me a time you lied. But I end up thinking about it on a deeper level. No matter how small the lie is, it is still wrong. So what if Jesus was the interviewer? I know that sounds silly, but in all seriousness, what would your resume consist of if you knew you would be interviewed by Christ? How much more honest would you be knowing that he already knows the truth? And as Christians, we have to keep in mind that Jesus is at that interview. He does see our resume. He knows who we are. Regardless of who we're lying to or why we are telling that lie, Jesus already knows. So whether we are lying to ourselves or to others, he knows the truth and expects us to tell it no matter what. As written in 2 Corinthians 5:15, and he died for all, and those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. No point in lying to look or feel better for others, not even for ourselves, because there are times where we do lie to ourselves. Everything we do should be for Christ, which ties into the last reason I wanted to discuss, that, you know, we tend to lie to please others. Galatians chapter 1 verse 10 reads, "For do I not persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." We have to choose who we are going to live for. This verse says, do I persuade men or God? Or God, which implies that it is impossible for us to do both. If we keep the Lord in the forefront of our minds, then others in their opinion won't matter as much. Colossians chapter 3 verse 2 tells us, "Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." When we prioritize heavenly, God-centered thoughts over earthly concerns, there is no desire to lie. God cannot lie because he is truth. So What good does it do us to tell lies? That's it. Okay, what good does it do us to tell lies? I can tell you a few. Revelation chapter 21 verse 8 tells us that liars are provided a home. A home. Liars get a home. Exciting, right? As it is written. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. So exciting, right? You get a home with fire and sulfur. Now notice that it doesn't speak only to the big liars. All of the little white lies and lies of omission count as well. Remember when Abraham told Abimelech that Sarah was his sister in Genesis 20? Well, that is true according to Genesis 20 and 12. They had the same dad, but not the same mom. So that was his sister. But he left out the fact that she was his wife. I know it sounds gross. That's another topic for another day. That was okay back then. But she was his wife. Friends, just because we're not outright telling a lie does not mean that it's not one. True enough, Sarah was his sister, but that was all that he wanted Abimelech to believe. That is deceitful and lying by omission. Another thing we can learn from this story is that our lies affect others involved. In verse 3 of Genesis 20, God came to Abimelech in a dream and told him, "Indeed, you are a dead man because of the woman you have taken, for she is a man's wife." In verses 4 through 5, Abimelech explains how he's innocent because he didn't know that that was Abraham's wife because Abraham told him otherwise. Yet, he was still going to be punished whether he knew the truth or not. And not only him, but his family also. The last two verses of this chapter tell how Abimelech's family suffered because of this, and God even closed up all wombs of the women in his household, all because of what the world likes to call a little white lie. There is no such thing as half truth. It's either true or it isn't. That simple. So I ask you again, what good does it do us to tell lies? Well, I've already mentioned that it comes with a new home. That was exciting, wasn't it? But not only that, it comes with a new father too. Yay. Jesus says so in John 8:44. "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Your new father, if you want to be a liar. Now, did you catch how this verse, as well as the one I mentioned earlier in Revelation 21:8, implies that a murderer is just as bad as a liar? God sees all sin the same. It all does the same amount of damage, and it all crucifies Christ over and over again. As said by my wise husband, lying might help you short term, but it doesn't help long term. Do we want to suffer eternal damnation simply because we don't want to tell the truth? Are we okay with hanging our Lord and Savior on that Christ repeatedly, over and over again, over a little white lie, or lies of omission, or withholding the truth, thinking you're telling half the truth? Let's not get caught up in the fear of or the pleasing of the world. No lie is worth losing eternal life with Christ. Thank you for talking with me. Let's walk with him.